We're just going to continue on from where we were last week and talk about the rest of things. So we were super happy. Maria with Lewis Cleaners recently did this whole process with us. And so she's letting us use kind of their audit. This is the form we went through with her. And it gives you a good idea of just the conversations to have. And so the very first thing we look at when we're talking to somebody about their online presence is, do you have a website that converts? Not just a website that looks pretty, but a website that loads fast, has emotional appeal, and ultimately converts, makes your phone ring. So that's priority number one that we always look at.
And that it's not just focused, the conversion piece is not just focused on your homepage. I think this is a big, huge challenge that a lot of companies, a lot of web designers,
Derek Priest and Katie Harris. I don't know them.
Yes, I know them well. I'm sorry. I have a squirrel mentality. I'm easily distracted. But anyway, so make sure that you put effort into the convertibility of every page on your website as And then we talked about reaching the right people at the right time through, so driving qualified traffic to your website. Once you've got that piece in place, you can do that through Google Ads, through local service ads, if you're a service-based company. And if your particular service qualifies, or if they have local service ads available in your area, through local search engine optimization and getting your website, to appear in organic searches. We talked about your Google Business Profile, used to be called Google My Business, and then online directories is we then we kind of we spent some time talking about pay-per-click marketing. And how pay-per-click gets you in front of your target audience with a very precise level of targeting that you just cannot get from other traditional type marketings.
I just wanted to remind you too that the Google local service ads, those are pay-per-lead, right? That's a pay-per-lead platform. The Google Ads underneath it, that's pay per click. So two paid avenues that you can do to drive traffic to your website. One, we're paying by lead. One, we're paying by click. In the Google local service ads, you can dispute those leads, right? If they're solicitations or if they're irrelevant to what you do, you can dispute those leads within the Google dashboard and not pay for the lead. If you are doing pay-per-click, that's not disputable. You're paying per every click that comes to your, that clicks on your ads.
Oops, sorry.
So you really don't want to do that, right? Because what if somebody's trying to get you?
Good question. And we talked about this a little bit last week, but you do want to do it because you want to own internet real estate space where your people are. And Google has great fraud protections in place. And so somebody can't just come and click on your ads over and over and over and drive up your price. If you had something that looked like click fraud, you can dispute click fraud, but Google's gotten really good at not letting that happen. So,
yeah, it's all a big factor in that is IP address. So Google really knows, where those clicks are coming from IP addresses, and doesn't charge you for all of those clicks from the same IP. So yes, Melanie, you should do Google Ads. So, and as well as Google local service ads. So we talked about the three R's. Jessica spent some time on the radius, response, and the reviews, and how all of that factors into how your ads will show up in Google local service ads. And then we kind of ended out our, because we had a lot of discussion, which we're also want to have today as well too, as we continue on, but we kind of moved into and kind of finished up with an SEO or search engine optimization conversation. And that's where we're going to kind of pick back up on today through the rest of this quote unquote audit that we did for Lewis Cleaners. But if you're not familiar with what SEO is, it stands for search engine optimization, optimizing your online presence to show up on Google, to show up in that free organic or that editorial placements underneath the Google business listings on a page. The goal of SEO is to increase, to gain rankings or position on those search engine results pages, so that, you know, being on those search engine, you know, being the higher you are on those search engine results pages increases the likelihood of somebody coming to your site when they're searching. And there's, you may or may not know this, but there are 10, typically 10 organic listings on every page of Google. So after all of the Google local service ads, all the Google paid ads, all of the Google My Business profiles that are there, then there are 10 listings that are considered organic or free natural listings that are on there. And there'll be 10 on every single page. And being on the first page is the most important thing. We joke about this. We talk about this in a lot in the world of digital marketing. But if you had a dead body that you were trying to hide, get rid of, and hide, we'd say hide it on the second page of Google, because no one would ever find it there. Right? So really want to do well, you know, optimize your website, optimize your content so that you can start showing up on the first page of Google, because that's where the majority of your traffic will show up. We talked briefly about the different elements of that make up search engine optimization. On page optimization, right? How you set up your website regarding your keyword selection, the meta descriptions that you put on your website, the headers, the titles, all of the content that is on there, and how you tag your content on that site will optimize your on-page the stuff on your page so that Google can crawl it. And then after all of that happens, then the continued work that you have to do for organic rank is what we call off-site or off-page SEO. And that's, you've probably heard us or other people talk about, you know, blogging and writing, publishing content to your additional content to your site, including external and internal links to those blogs, and building credible and relevant links to high ranking websites called backlinks to your site. Advertising can also increase your off-page SEO, along with other things like directories, Google My Business, and those types of things can help how your rankings increase.
So one of the questions we get a lot when it comes to SEO, well, we'll have people that will reach out and they have built their website on platforms like Wix or Squarespace, and they're paying for SEO, and they'll come to us sometimes and they'll say, I'm so frustrated, like my rankings don't really improve. And this is an important thing to know, the platform your websites are built on. There are some kind of templated website in a box, easier ways to build a website like Wix or Squarespace, and you can get a really pretty nice looking website up quickly, but they are hard to get those types of platforms to rank because you don't have as much control over some of these things that that Derek just talked about here. And also because Google on those platforms will usually only crawl the first page, right? And so you're going to be limited when it comes to organic rankings that you can get. We work with people often that that struggle with that. So if your website is built on one of those platforms, it probably looks really nice and might be converting really well, but you might want to look at having a conversation about transferring that design to a WordPress platform so that you have more ability to rank organically and earn these on-page rankings for different things. I think that's a question we get a lot. And I know that a lot of Inner Circle members have built websites on Squarespace. And so that's a really common issue that they run into. So check your website, see what platform it's built on, and that might be contributing to rankings that you're having. Yeah. Awesome. Question?
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Edgar?
Edgar, I saw you raise your hand, Edgar.
Okay. So by having paid ads or clicks, or also Google Local, and people are clicking through there, does that organically also help me on my SEO?
Are you answering that question, Katie, or am I?
I cut out just one little second. If you heard it, you can answer it. If not, Edgar, can you say it one more time for me?
So my opinion is yes. The more because what you're doing is you're driving traffic to that site, and that site and the traffic, Google is seeing that you're having traffic run to that site, and that will ultimately help to raise your domain authority as you're getting more and more traffic to the site. So I'll touch on the whole idea behind SEO and paid marketing and where should you focus in just a minute. But yes, it can help, Edgar.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Couple questions here that I just want to grab out of the chat really fast before we move on. First one is Linda asks us that she noticed ADP Payroll has a feature to use Upnetics for Google Ads. I'm not really specifically familiar with Upnetics specifically, Linda, but you know that a lot of different services start offering, hey, we'll do your Google Ads for you, right? Upnetics sounds like one of them that are doing that. Hibu is another one, right? Hibu used to be known as Yellow Pages. Well, when Yellow Pages kind of died, they said, hey, we'll sell these digital platforms. We'll run your ads for you. And then you can even use Google, even has some programs where Google basically runs the ads for you. But here's my warning to you when using one of those is Google is more than happy to take your money, right? And they will take your money. And so it's critical when you are running pay-per-click ads that is a very strategic method, right? You want to be sure that you have things like negative keyword lists. And we talk more about this and we're specific in pay-per-click, but there's things you can do when running Google ads that help make your ads affordable, that get you a higher quality score, that eliminate people from being able to click on your ads for things that you're not interested in. And when you're doing anything that's one of the more automated things, you're just going to miss out on that, right? And so the challenge with it is you will end up paying more money than you probably want to. You will get a lot of clicks and a lot of traffic, but it's not always the most relevant. So that's the risk you kind of run with that. When you're running your own Google ads or you're working with an agency that's running your ads, then you can look at things a little more strategically. You have more ability to pause things. You have more ability to increase budget on ones that are really working. You have more ability to add the negative keywords so that you don't just have wasted spend. So I'm leery of them, but I'm leery of them mostly because you end up with a lot of wasted spend when you're doing them because your campaigns just aren't dialed in as much as they should be.
Okay, because I know I just started to watch it, but when I started to kind of go like, if I am going to do it, but it really tied into like, which location do you want? Just the city? What's your, you know, keywords that you want? Which ones don't you want? It was kind of like, and then it said, if you're already doing Google Ads, pause those before you start these. So it seemed like it looked like it was really easy to use too. So I'm like, of course, that's probably why people might do it, but.
And they can make it look really easy like that. And it is easy to set up a Google Ads account and start run. What's not easy is increasing a quality score and getting quality traffic. Okay. So if you do it, just watch it really closely, right? Make sure that it's not overspending. Because it can.
You need to go by there and pay that.
And they did on there too, just said like, how much do you, like what you had said before too, is like, how much do you want to spend a day setting up our budget? So I thought, well, if nothing else, because I don't know what the heck I'm doing, maybe it would be something to start with.
Linda, remind me what type of business you're in.
Chiropractic and physical therapy.
Okay. There's something to consider. We'll get a little deeper than probably, but on that daily budget, one of the things to consider as you're setting a daily budget is to do a little bit of research and find out what the average cost per click is for the types of services that you offer. The reason is because you could, you know, the challenge that a lot of people have especially when they're thinking about getting into Google Ads is they don't want to lose a lot of money and not have any results, which is a very relevant concern. And so, you know, I hear all the time, well, I'm just gonna you know, stick my toe into advertising on Google Ads. I'm gonna, you know, throw a small budget at it. If it starts to work, then I'll throw more money at it. And once we prove that it works, so I don't lose my shirt, which again makes a lot of sense. But by doing so, let's say for example, you know, if you said you wanted to spend $500 a month because that's a number that you were comfortable with, losing without, you know, still probably be able to put food on the table if you lost $500. But just like you said, it's going to ask you to set up daily budgets. Your daily budget on a $500 a month spend is $16, right? And so if your daily budget is $16, and let's say for chiropractic care, the average cost per click is $8, right? Your ads are going to show up every day until you've gotten like two clicks. And then once you've gotten those two clicks, your ads will not show up anymore, right? And so because you've reached your daily budget. So there's some strategy to be thought about in that realm when it comes to how do we set up budgets, how much do we spend, as opposed to potentially increasing that budget to provide for the fact that we can show up in search more often, right? So as long as, unlike Katie said, it's really important that you optimize those campaigns for relevant search, including negative keywords so that you're not showing up for people who, you know, don't actually, are using some kind of variation of your terms, but not something that you do.
Let me give you an example of a negative keyword. For those of you who maybe don't remember when we talked about negative keywords, if the keyword you want is water damage, okay, a negative keyword would be something like iPhone, because you do not want somebody clicking on your ad that's like iPhone water damage, right? Somebody dropped their phone in the toilet and they're Googling iPhone water damage. You do not want your water damage mitigation business to show up for that ad. You do not want to pay for that click, because that person is not looking for the services you offer. They're looking for somebody to fix their phone that they got wet, right? So you put iPhone as a negative keyword so that if somebody were to put something like that in, your ad doesn't show up. So things like that make sense, right, Melanie, right? My phone fell in the water while paddleboarding. Exactly, right? Like things like that happen. People go make a Google search. Your ad shows up for water damage, but the water damage you're talking about is a flooded basement, right? You don't want that click. So that's a negative keyword. And you keep building that list so that you never pay for ads that are irrelevant to what you're doing. Okay. All right. Let's cruise, Derek, so we can get through this time.
All right. Yep. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this slide, but this is a tool that we use to be able to analyze the authority and the overall health of a website, specifically a main domain. So we look at what's that authority, what's the domain authority, is there organic traffic already coming? Are there backlinks that are onto it? And then what are those searches, or what are those keywords that you have ranked for? What are their position, and are they relevant to your search?
And if you want us to run this for you, and tell you, come back and tell you, we can give you a screen exactly like this, just like we did for Maria, that says, hey, this is your domain authority. These are the keywords. Like, if you want to know this information, if you'll just put your email and your company domain, your website address in the chat, we will run this for you and email it over to you so you can take a look and have this information.
Awesome. Okay, next. Okay, I alluded to this, and I get asked this all the time. You know, look, based off, you know, should I be running Google Ads, or should I just be doing search engine optimization, optimizing my website for that free and organic traffic? And it's, you know, there was a time seven or eight years ago where, you know, the answer would be kind of one or the other, right? Where you could rely solely on search engine optimization to grow your business and to get relevant leads. But that time really has changed, specifically to how Google has things show up on the page, how they have things positioned, how users respond to search engine results now, and the likelihood that they're very they want things very, very quickly. But the answer to the question is, should I do ads or search engine optimization? And the answer is yes. And the reason is because up to, and this is, these are Google statistics, but up to 89% of the visits that come to an advertiser's site are from search ads are incremental to the clicks on their organic results. Meaning that if you didn't have an ads campaign running, you are up to 89% less likely to get a click to your organic results. So they work hand in hand. You think about yourself, like, do you click on ads? As business owners, I've typically found that most business owners don't click on ads, but just having the ad, you think about this from the viewpoint of your customer, seeing the ad triggers in their mind the interest to go down the page and find your organic results and find you farther down the page. So in our world today, it really is a pay-to-play avenue. But if you want to get more organic traffic to your page, a huge way to do that is to have an ads campaign running at the same time. Do you want to add anything to that, Katie?
Nope, that's exactly it. Yep.
All right. Well, this is now, let's briefly talk about the Google My Business profile.
Okay, I have really good news now. So we've been talking about like paid ads for a while, and now we're going to talk about business Google Business Profile, which is free. So let's talk about a free resource that you can start using today to increase your presence online. So
may I ask a question before we go on?
Please do.
You know, I always have questions.
I love it. I love it. I'm so happy you're here with us.
Yeah, sorry. I had a sick baby all night, so I'm living life in reverse this morning for some reason. But hey, at least I'm here, right?
That's so, right.
Goals, hashtag goals. So
we're glad you're here, Roger. What's your question?
The question is, so how specific on the are the ads that I need to be running as with Google, pay-per-click, Google, because there's like three things we got going here right now, but yep. Pay-per-click right now. Like if I have all the five or six different services, is that just something that should we be running ads for all of those services at the same time?
Yes, and they should be in different campaigns. Yeah. So you can have a services campaign built out in there, but you might have window washing ads, and those might be different from, remind me, one of your other services, pressure washing, right?
Carpet cleaning, soft washing, window cleaning, gutter cleaning.
Yeah. And this is why you're going to want the different ads, because you're going to be sending them to different pages, right? You want to send those ads to a page that is, you want the ad copy to be very relevant to the page you're sending them to. Remember, that's going to increase your quality score. And the better your quality score is for an ad, the less you're going to pay per click. So,
and you're referring to landing pages, correct?
Yep. Yep.
And what?
So, never send like a window washing ad to a soft wash page.
Right.
But right? Those pages can all be on your website, right? You just want them to have individual pages on your website.
Right. So we can track where they're going, how it's flowing and all that good stuff. Okay. Yeah. I got it. That's what we're currently doing. I only think we have like two or three of my services. So if I increase to like five or six services, is that going to increase my, how much that I'm spending? I know, or can I decrease the amount I'm spending in the other areas and just kind of spread it in between the budget? Cause I spend $500 a month on Google ads right now.
Right. Good question. Go ahead, Derek.
And that's spread out between a few of your services?
Yeah, like window cleaning, Christmas lights, and I think we're just doing two window cleaning and Christmas lights right now. So,
right. Well, so the thing, like the other reason why you want to have individual campaigns for each one of your services is so that you can put different budgets on each one of those campaigns as well too. Like you can have a shared budget, but you can also put individual budgets on each campaign. So like you may not want to, you may just be starting, maybe even not right now, but you may just be starting into the Christmas light season, like end of September, first, you know, in October, right? Where you wouldn't want to necessarily, maybe you don't want to advertise for Christmas lights during the middle of the summer. I know I don't think about Christmas lights right now. Matter of fact, I want to push those off as far as I can. So, but you can totally, you can run ads for the services that, you know, maybe you have seasonal services. Like if you live in Idaho, like Katie lives, like there's not a whole lot of window washing happening in January, February in Idaho because it's hard to keep the water from freezing on the glass.
Right? Too cold to go outside. Yep.
But so you can totally, you know, change and increase, reduce budgets, even pause campaigns if you need to, based off of the service and what you're trying to get work for at that time or the seasonality. That's the beautiful part about being able to broaden your campaign, your Google Ads campaign out as far as you'd like to.
word of caution, if you're going to add more campaigns or add more ads for more services, right? Watch your budget, because you don't want your budget to be so low that you just don't show up, right? You've got to give yourself enough chances to show up in the auction during the day, the Google auction during the day. So like Derek was saying, you don't want to be like, okay, once I get two clicks, I'm out, right? When you would really like, if there's enough search volume, you want to be able to capture that volume without just running out of budget too early. So keep an eye on that, make those adjustments.
That's another reason why I recommend you have multiple budgets, like have a budget by campaign, so that if you're using a shared budget, like say, let's say for example, you have a water damage and mold remediation company, your main service is water damage. You don't want your mold damage campaign, which typically has more search, typically has more click. You don't want that campaign to be driving your daily budget down for your water damage campaigns and having them both shut off. So because you've wasted, you know, you went through that spend. So like, again, it's all strategy, but it's all based off of what you're trying to accomplish. But that help, Roger?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really learning this stuff to hold my marketing team accountable, if that makes sense. I'm more than anything, just
absolutely.
Because I want to know what I'm looking at.
Absolutely. Gotcha. Good questions.
Talk about GMB, Katie.
Okay, Google Business Profile. If you aren't using this right now, or somebody on your team isn't using this for you, put your eyes on it, because you're going to have a lot of opportunities right here, and Google loves it, right? This is where somebody's going to get directions to you. This is where somebody's going to leave a review. This is tied to Google Local Service Ads. There's a lot of things that Google has going on that are tied to your business profile. So it's really, really important to Google. And that means if you use it, Google will reward you. So one of the newer parts to Google Business Profile is you can add a post, right? You can go in and you can add a post to your profile. When you do that, Google's going to say, hey, thank you so much for adding current and relevant content. We really value that. And because of that, we're going to make your business profile show up bigger for a variety of organic searches that people do. So get really active in this. This is free to do, right? The posts do not have to be long. They do not have to be complicated. They can highlight your services. They can highlight your team. They can highlight reviews, however you want to do it. But here's the kicker. And this is Google making some rules for Google. These posts expire every 7 days, right? Google's been telling us for years that current and relevant content is really important to them. But now they're going to say, hey, this is how important current and relevant content is. This content, this post is going to expire in 7 days. So you're going to get a notification to add new content. Just quick and easy, get in the habit of doing that. You will get rewarded with some organic rankings and your profile showing up a little bit better. Google, like I said, Google Business Profile has lots of things connected to it. This is your address. This is where you're going to put your service area, either your services, or if you're a service-based business, you're going to put your service area, right? Might be outside of a physical location. You might be going to your clients rather than them coming to your physical place of business. So this is where you do that. Lots of things happening on the GMB.
So even though it is a free resource, which is and it's a source of awesome traffic, it does take some management to do it. Like Katie said, I mean, just because you get it all set up, you do need to continually post to it, because those things will. And then you just talked about posts. I should have jumped ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. Melanie asked, so you have to post every 7 days. You don't have to post every 7 days, but your other ones will go away. So I really encourage people, get in a habit of at least twice a month getting a new post up there. In addition to posts, and I think Derek, you can hit the next slide. You can't. It's not there yet. In addition to posts, You can add photos. Those don't go away. Those stay on your, I'm still getting used to saying GMP. It's now Google Business Profile rather than Google My Business. Same thing. Google just changes its name. But you can add photos, before and after photos, great. Team photos, great. You have a really beautiful office space, you know, where you do massage and different things like that that you want to highlight. Linda, I think that might be you guys. You know, put some pictures in there, put some videos in there. They're going to stay on your Google Business Profile. Does that make sense? If you geotag those photos as you're uploading them, that's one more way that, say, like you are a service-based business and you have a service area, right? Maybe your physical location is one area, your service area is 30 miles away. When you're out at that business, out at that home or that place 30 miles away, geotag your photo, put it on your Google business profile, and now you're going to start to see some rankings happen, some organic rankings happen from the posts and the videos and the photos that you're putting on your profile. A lot of cool opportunities there. Keywords, absolutely, Tom. Thank you for saying that. Put keywords in your images and put keywords in any of your posts, right? Because this is content that Google is using for your rankings. So be smart about the keywords that you use for your photos and in your posts, and make sure they go with the services you offer and the things you want to show for. Yep, alt tags, exactly. Alt tags are going to be important on your photos. It's an alternative tag. Google doesn't read photo. Google reads alt tags. So name, do an alt tag on there that uses the keyword for what you want. Very good. Thank you, Tom, for pointing that out. You are a smart man. You have got it figured out.
Well, you know, I have a question. Go ahead.
It's funny. So I work in the moving and storage industry, and I also kind of an early adopter. I had email in 1990. I worked for a tech company in Manhattan in 2000 and 1998 e-commerce. So I got an early start, but I'm kind of behind the times now a little bit. But I ran Google Ads back in 2000, and I was doing SEO and SEM stuff before there was really a name for it. And, you know, there was no local search. It was, I worked for a freight forwarder, which is documentation for international shipments, and we would come up number 8 for freight forwarders, and then NY and LA the top 2. He's changed stuff, and he's totally fell out of the rankings now. But you know, now there's so much new stuff going on, it's kind of crazy. But I posted that question before about the old school ways, because I know you're saying the Wix and stuff will kind of, I guess, downgrade you a little bit. But you know, I mean, HTML is not that hard, but I mean, no one really does it anymore like that. And Macromedia would actually build the pages for you with HTML. So it was an easier way to do that. But yeah. Does Google give you any better rankings for if you do it the old way? Because I mean, WordPress is a content management system. So it's, I mean, I guess they kind of streamlined it for the way they look at WordPress sites, right?
Google actually really loves WordPress. It's open source, right? And WordPress sites rank really, really well and tend to rank faster than some of the other ones. And so there's still HTML in there. It's just really simple to use, right? And so that's what we would do there. Victor asked about videos too. And videos are the same thing. You wanna be sure that you're naming your videos correctly, right? And you're putting those tags on there and the descriptions on there so that Google knows what it is. Google doesn't know what your video is unless you're using the words to tell it what it is.
Yeah, and then Google videos for Google Business Profile can only be up to 30 seconds. So they're yes. Really short clips.
Yep, thanks, Jessica. Yes, they're not long. And so they are really short clips.
While we're on the subject of Google My Business, or excuse me, Google Business Profile, it's a great segue into the next piece that show up on your Google My Business profile, and that's online reviews. Online reviews are, I mean, it goes without saying, I think most people know today how important reviews are. That social proof is such a big deal in today's society. 97% of consumers use reviews to help them make purchase decisions. And up to 90% of consumers trust online reviews as much as they do personal recommendations. And so if you're not currently, or if actively working, trying to get your customers to leave you online reviews, I seriously suggest that you change that, because really your customers are going to your Google My Business profile. They're going to find out what other people are saying about you. And so, and those reviews are content that is on your website. I'm not sure what the growth is important. Okay. So reviews, there's lots of ways obviously to ask for reviews or get your customers to leave reviews, but something you certainly need to do. And I want you to think about this from a perspective of what's really happening online when it comes to your reviews. When your customers leave you a review, whether it's good or whether it's bad, they are, you know, going out of their way to tell the world what type of a company you are and what their experience was like when they worked with you, to basically shout from the rooftops either good or bad about your company. But what they're really doing, without knowing that that's what they're doing, what they're really doing is publishing content on the internet for your company. And we just talked about, Katie just talked about how important new, fresh, updated content is. Content is king when it comes to Google. That's another reason, another way that Google has made it possible for you and your customers to publish content about your services and about your company on the website. So that's what your customers are doing, is publishing content. The other thing though that is also critically important is that if you're not doing this, change this practice, and that is respond to every one of the reviews that come to your business profile. Because for two reasons, just like your customers are saying what kind of a job you did, you want to obviously recognize them and show gratitude to them and, tell the world what type of a company you are and that you, people know, like, and trust you and that you can do a great job in their home. But really what you're doing when you respond to reviews is you're publishing content on the internet for your company. Now, content that can be crawled by web crawlers that can help you rank for the different types of goods and services that you sell. So when you respond to those reviews, obviously you want to have a very genuine sentiment when you respond, but also think about adding those types of keywords for the services that you actually performed in your response to your customers, and those types of things can.
Hey Derek, give us an example of maybe how you would reply to somebody that said, "Hey, thanks for coming to clean the carpets in my home. I think your company did a great job."
Okay. So the beautiful part is if that's what the reviews, what they said, they did use a keyword, they clean carpets in my home. What I would say, and I'd be very genuine, and I'd say, I'd respond in first person. I'd say, thank you, Mrs. Jones, for your kind review of our company. We thoroughly enjoyed working with you, cleaning your carpets, and specifically that beautiful handmade rug that you had in your home. We certainly hope that you will consider us next time you have, you're in need of carpet cleaning or rug cleaning services in the future, something like that.
Whenever you say us or our company, when you're responding to somebody, go ahead and put your company name, right?
And like, your company. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's so great. And Jessica was amazing and just put into the chat a really good article that we have about how to respond to bad reviews, negative reviews, and use them to your advantage. So if you want to grab that link, there's some good information for you or that you can share with your team. And what do you do when the review is bad, right? How do you handle that and actually use them to your benefit? So thanks, Jess, for throwing that in there. Appreciate that.
Awesome. Growing over time. And the number of reviews is important, but again, it's not just the number, but it's continually growing. And the age and of those reviews is certainly a major factor when it comes to Google and rank. So you want to keep getting reviews on a consistent basis. You'll get a positive effect on your business's ability to rank locally in your market. And look at Katie, we're moving along. We want to touch.
I know. We got like 10 minutes and we're going to get through this whole what to ask for thing today.
I want to talk really quickly when it comes to social media marketing is to remember that social media, depending on the types of services that you provide, the social media marketing is a little bit different than marketing on Google. Typically, Google is a very intent-driven clients come from Google. They have a problem, they're looking for a solution, they go to Google to try to find the solution to that problem.
We would also say that that's like bottom of the funnel, right? Google, yep. Pay-per-click is like, that's bottom of the funnel. They're ready, they're intentional about that search.
Yep, that's exactly right. And whereas Facebook, the purpose of Facebook Facebook is a little bit different. People go to Facebook, they go to social media to find out, you know, what's going on with their friends, their family, what's going on in their community, their favorite brands, that type of stuff. It's more of a social scenario and a networking, a relationship type marketing than Google is. And so it's a great time to consistently deliver a message, build your brand while growing your audience and growing people who know you and like you and trust you. Here's one of the biggest keys to marketing with social media is social media helps you to join the conversation of your audience, of your followers, of the people who like you, versus consistently and constantly interrupting the conversation. When you constantly are plugging, you know, showing pictures of the latest job you did, or, you know, and it's always all about you, that is a great way to get people to stop being interested in what you do. But when you join their conversations and you share with them great information about a variety of different things and show them the type of people and the type of company you are, that will really help you grow your tribe and grow your social media marketing.
And like Tom just said in the comments, and help them remember you, right?
Exactly. Because
you are likable. I think one of the opportunities we have with our social media that we forget about, we start focusing, we have a focus on, hey, I got to post, right? I got to get reviews on my Facebook page, or I've got to post 3 times a week. And that's what we'll become really focused on. But think about it. What type of a friend are you, right? Are you a type of friend that just expects people to come to you all the time? Or are you the type of friend that maybe goes and hangs out where they are? So consider, who in your market do you want to build a relationship with, right? Who in your market do you want to have think of you? And go look at their Facebook pages. What are they posting? What's interesting to them? Can you comment as your business on their page? Can you share their comments or their posts on your page? Are your audience the same? So when you're looking at it as a social network, right? Facebook is more than just posting on your own page. It is an opportunity to find what other people are doing and build those relationships.
Great point, Katie. And that this is just kind of an example of some of the types of things that you can use to be social and build relationships and share fun and interesting. You want to get people to stop on their newsfeed on your posts, right? I love that image. This one on the left-hand side is, this is why women live longer than men. And because I can totally see.
You can see yourself standing on that ladder.
I see myself standing on that ladder on top of those buckets, right? But the likelihood that my wife would ever be in that position is absolutely 0%, right? So it's, but then share, and then as you build that relationship and sharing those types of posts, then you want to intermix those types of posts that are about your business and how you're making a difference in your community. So
use this as a platform to be likable, but also use this as a platform to build trust. Like, you are an expert at what you do. You know things that your clients don't know. So share that with them, right? Like, even if there's so many times when I think, oh, that's so simple, like everybody knows that, but that's because that's my space. That's what I'm an expert in. Share what you know and add value to them. And Facebook or Instagram, whatever social platform you're using, is the right space to do that.
Awesome. This is just a little Who is Spot On Solutions. It's part of, you know, we are an under one roof digital marketing solution for service-based companies. We do work with a systematic approach to bring online marketing to all facets of your work. And the one thing we didn't have on here, and I don't know, I must have deleted the slide, but all in all, I want to just touch on one last thing, is especially when we're talking about digital marketing, is you need to wrap it all up in a way that you can all be reported and measured. And data, make decisions based off of data. Don't just make decisions based off of, you know, your intuition or your gut or how you feel. Data is the king when it comes to digital marketing. And so when you're putting together your systems, make sure you know and understand what data you need to be getting and monitoring, and how to make those adjustments. I would certainly highly recommend, other than the normal tools that you can get with Google and Search Console and those types of things, you always need to be using some type of a call tracking system, so that you can measure and monitor, you know, where your calls, your actual phone calls are coming from. And you can, you know, that brings a ton of value, not just about how effective your campaigns are, but also if you've got some system that, you know, records those phone calls, you can track all those calls back to whether or not you closed the job, whether or not your staff had, you know, handled the call correctly or not, and it can be a huge benefit to your business, and it will help you make good and relevant business decisions versus just, you know, guessing from then on. So if you can't measure it, it probably shouldn't be done.